It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right, we're just going to do this and
like Brutus.
Plug that. Here we are, people. No, the other thing I'm thinking, because this has a main out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of sometime getting a cord and plugging this directly into the input jack over here.
Oh.
And skipping the whole USB thing.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I actually hit record, so this is part of the podcast now.
Oh, all right then.
For the generations. Hello, everyone. welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that plumps when you cook it. Because it's made with real beef, people. 100% real beef podcast. Natural casing. Plumps when you cook
natural
it.
Natural casing.
There you go.
That sounds disgusting.
Yes. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And I do believe this is episode 103.
I do believe that you are correct.
Okay.
And as you can tell, we have both. We are continuing to have both our sound improvement and our sound difficulties. And it's been a few weeks, so Ezzy has gotten used to the sound equipment, so she's just here now.
Actually, she just showed up as we started talking.
That's
so weird.
Fun. We're still working on it. Anybody have any advice, please tell us. Although, it's a little bit weird. Episode 103, I believe the first episode ever. As of the airing... Sorry, episode 102, as of the airing of episode 103... Zero comments.
Yes, I noticed that.
I feel this is sad.
Well, this has happened recently in another... Don't you remember I brought this up? Probably, it's been a few months ago now. I mentioned that before I came over here, I checked and there were no comments on the previous podcast. Now, I what I don't remember, though, is if that was also a mystery episode.
Maybe they hate alternate dimension ones.
Or maybe comments are going into the alternate dimension.
We're also kind of low on questions and comments and topics of the hat. For those of you just joining us at minute 2:15, whole point of this podcast, we have a magical hat of talking, has its own email, checks its own email, spits out the things it finds there out of itself on little cards.
As if by magic.
So you all write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Questions, topics, things like that. We draw them out at random, and we talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show. All right. Getting that down to... pretty soon it's going to be a tight 15-second explanation, I think. Anyway, the hat's a little light at the moment in its mailbox, so... And we're light on comments, so really, we're feeling like you don't love us anymore, and we're sad. So this is basically the telethon episode. Operators are standing by to make your donation. Every time you listen to the podcast without donating, you're a thief. That's what we're saying. So support our show. This podcast survives on the support of listeners like you.
Sometimes I'm afraid we're going to go to the comments and someone's just going to type, "I just want to be friends." And that'll break my heart.
That would be sad, yeah. I'm a little surprised that hasn't come up before. But
no, but this happened a few months ago on another one. Also have been a mystery episode, but I'm not
they
sure.
They might hate that.
Maybe they do.
But you need to support us. I mean, every comment, every email helps. You know, bring us your favorite shows, like... William half remembers something, tries to remember the rest, and then gives up. Or, take my Ezzy, please.
You're really going to milk this.
And of course,
this
everyone's favorite
fundraising campaign thing.
Downton Abbey. starring the incomparable Maggie Smith. So we have some appreciation gifts.
Oh, God.
If you donate certain amounts. For just one comment or question, you can have your very own Ezzy. Seriously, I will pay for the shipping. U.S. and Canada only, please. But for, yeah, so one at the one comment or question level, you can get an Ezzy for free. At the three comment or question level, you can have your choice of the Ezzy or the William. I will ship either one. And at the five comment slash question level, I give you both. So get on that.
We should have a level where people get the snowball signed and we'll send it to them. That we no longer use.
Yes. Sad, crying in the corner microphone
we'll
that
sign
you all
it,
missed. And then they will start their own podcast with the snowball and we'll find out that was the magic. And we'll lose all our listeners to the snowball. Called the Magical Talking Snowball. Terrible. It's been a long time. For us, in our world, mm-hmm. it's been 3 weeks.
Yeah.
In your guys' world, it may, your time stream may vary.
By the way,
3 weeks.
Are you going to do something about the alternate universe and they don't have new time, their time, they don't have new sound equipment. So are they just going to sound different from us?
I know that in the alternate time or in the alternate dimension, they're all evil.
Yeah.
I assume they still have obligatory family Christmas presents.
Oh.
And I assume some of them get obligatory family gift cards and checks.
Like and earmarked money.
Yes, and can pool them.
As it were.
As I did, and buy podcasts.
Yes, but will they? Because they didn't. Not.
No.
From what I understand.
I don't think they were going to.
Oh.
Because it's not evil to improve the equipment. Then they found out there's that weird background noise. And now they're all over it. I think they'll have the exact same equipment we will. It just will have a goatee.
And you're not worried about, you're not going to do anything about it. You just think they'll take care of it.
Did you just ask if I was going to do anything about something?
The thing is, you don't invite me to any of the meetings. So as far as I know, you have regular, and I don't even know how they get to know that we need them to do a show. Don't you contact them or?
You've seen Looper. You know how this stuff works.
Does the hat just figure it out somehow? Or because they obviously have a hat or the hat. Or, you know, maybe the hat exists in multiple dimensions at the same time. I don't know.
Dude, don't look at it too much.
Okay, but you don't.
There's the, have you ever heard of the Heisenberg Uncertainty podcast?
Yeah.
You can listen to episodes or you can find out where they're coming from. You can't do both, so don't mess it up.
Oh. I never heard of that one.
Yeah.
Schrodinger's podcast, I've heard of.
Quantum podcasting is very complicated.
Okay, now, but so you don't talk to them over there at all?
No, I never met them.
Huh. Okay.
No.
Well, maybe they'll figure it out. And...
But even if they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It doesn't matter because nobody seems to like them because they don't comment on
exactly.
Their,
nobody
on
likes
their
them.
Shows.
But do it, people. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Comment there. Write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. With some questions and some comments and some stuff, and then we'll talk about them. So how was your 3 weeks?
Well, it was good. I mean, you know what I've been up to. I've just been working on...
And I sadly finally got the script projects. Out for Briar Rose.
Yes.
I don't know what happened there, why it took me that long after I had finished reading it, but I did finally get it out. We've only had one person already read and respond.
Well, two people. I mean, Vermond... has read some of it and sent.
Really?
Did you not see?
He left me off of that.
No, not the first one. I think the last few, he and I have gone back and forth. It was just the two of us. But the first one had you on it, and I responded, and you were on it.
I don't remember that.
He's read part of it, and he said that he would have liked a cast list, like at the beginning of
yeah.
it, which I had actually intended to do, and I got so wrapped up in getting it sent out to people.
Was this
to,
recently?
Yeah, just today.
Okay, maybe I just haven't seen the email yet.
But I actually, that's something I, because you talked about how you you know, had sort of ended up being sort of the casting director. So I thought, well, it'd be helpful once I have this written for me to put the cast at the beginning of it, like you often see at the beginning of plays. But I didn't do that. I hadn't done it yet because I sent it to you to read. And then when it got to, oh, let's have some other people read it for some feedback, I'd completely forgotten that I was going to do that. So Vermond read it, and he wrote both of us back and said, well, it would be nice to have a list. And I said, oh, yeah, sorry, I was going to do that. And so I typed up a really quick list and email, and I sent it to him. And after that, he and I went back and forth, just the two of us, a couple times.
Okay. Yeah, and you and Bloodsparrow talked all morning.
Yeah, she read it and gave some really helpful feedback, and I've already tweaked the script a little bit based on some of her suggestions.
She made some interesting points in counter to the criticisms I gave you, which I liked. The rest of you, if you haven't gotten that email yet, you need to let us know if you wanted it. I thought I sent it to everybody who asked to be involved or who I specifically recruited to be involved. If I missed you, tell me, and I will send it on to you. No problem. I mean, we don't discriminate here, and that you're not committing to anything at this point. We're having people read it, and then we're gonna see what people think and who thinks they might want to do what and that kind of thing.
Right, right.
If I sent it to you, you need to start reading it, and you need to get back to us on this. I do know of one other person I confirmed got it and is going to read it this weekend and then get back.
Okay. So, yeah, so far the feedback's been very helpful. And as you said, Bloodsparrow read it and gave quite a bit of feedback. And as I've said on the show before, I kind of all along sort of thought her voice would be great for Holda. And,
but she really wants to do Lady Redcap.
Well, I think so. Which,
but you had somebody. You had.
I do kind of have somebody else. I do kind of have somebody else lined up for that part already.
Yeah.
But that said, she did say that when she read the script, she kind of did a sort of cold read for Holda as she was doing it. And frankly, based on her her suggestions and her comments, it seemed like she really got that character, and I was really impressed with how much. She understood that character almost better than I did, and I wrote it. So, I mean, I think she's going to, if she is willing to do that character, she's going to do a very good job, if she still wants to. But yeah, I was really, I thought her comments were really insightful and very helpful. So, you know, anyone who has gotten it and is reading it, keep this in mind. I have a very thick skin. You can say anything about it you want. You can be as critical about it as you want.
As somebody who has edited his works in the past, I have to concur. Seriously. I mean, you know, it's not going to be helpful if you're just an asshole to be an asshole. But if you're like, this really sucks, you need to fix it. That's totally legitimate.
No, yeah, I don't.
I have told you that before.
Yeah, yeah,
I have said, this section is stupid.
Right, right.
And you're a bad person.
Here's the thing. I am so much more interested in it being good than in, you know, whether or not people like it as soon as I send it to them, that I'm so grateful to get whatever feedback, especially any feedback that helps me make it better. It doesn't, I mean, I can't even have hurt feelings about it. So by all means, give it a read. And if there's something that really bothers you about it, please say so. That's not to say that I'll always take your advice or you know, take whatever suggestion you give, because maybe, you know, because as the person who's...
He reserves the right to disagree.
Yeah, I reserve the right to disagree and to make the final decisions on how the script goes. But for the most part, I'm very open to whatever criticisms you bring. And, you know, I don't think I've ever heard a criticism from someone that I didn't think had merit and that didn't actually have an impact on my final product in a way that I thought was really positive. So that said, I do like positive feedback as well. If you have anything good to say about it, I'd like to hear that, because
I don't.
Well, not just for the sake of praise, but to know what parts of it are working.
No, I'm just telling you, the whole thing is a mess.
No, listen, this is important, because if all I get are criticisms, that's fine, because maybe I can take those criticisms and improve it, but perhaps on the path to improving it, based on those criticisms, I'll change something
that's good.
That was actually working. So I do also need to know, not just for the sake of getting praise, but to know what to keep, what to sort of work around. And if I can get feedback in both of those ways, it'll be very helpful and help me produce a script that is really not just good, hopefully, but really great.
And I was less helpful in that department this time because, as you know, I just have a thing for your dialogue. And it's a script, so it's all dialogue.
But once I get all the feedback and I feel like we're at a place where the script can kind of, be a working script, we can start talking about who's going to do what and how we're going to get together and go through some read-throughs and then and figure out what the logistics will be for each person recording their part and getting it to me so that I can cut it all together.
And by the way, we don't just need voice talent. We desperately need technical support.
Yeah, if...
I don't know how this is even going to work because essentially people are going to be recording on different equipment in different places, and you have to make it sound like they're having a conversation in the same place.
Well, there's...
I know that can be done. Well, I have no idea how you do that.
I know how to do it, and I have software at home that'll help me do it fairly easily. It will require us to talk to each person who's going to be providing voice talent and talking about their recording setup and whether or not... I mean, you know, Bloodsparrow sent me a sample already where I know that she can record her voice.
Oh, yeah, it was super clean.
Yeah, cleanly and very well. So, you know, we're going to have to work with each person in figuring out how they can get that kind of setup wherever they're at. Once we get clean recordings of everybody, it's going to be fairly simple to take each track, time it up just right, and then add sound effects. For me, thinking through this whole thing, nothing really concerns me or worries me or makes me think, gosh, how are we going to do that outside of the sound design and some of the Foley stuff that we might have to do. Because once we get those sound files, putting it in is going to be quite easy. But that's going to be the trick as far as I'm concerned.
There's a ton of sound effects.
And before we have each person record their section separately, which is how we're going to have to do it, I would like us to do a few read-throughs. I don't know how many exactly. Probably enough that everyone feels comfortable with it so that when a person's recording their voice or their part, they can imagine a little bit what the other actor would do or would say. And so that'll help their performance.
Probably Google Hangout or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I suspect with some of the local talent, we're going to have to bring them in if they don't have the equipment.
It's possible.
And we can bring them here. We can use my equipment, but we can't bring them here.
Oh, well, I imagine we can figure something out as far as that goes. I'm not worried. Like I said, whenever I think of those type of logistic concerns, I'm not concerned about that at all, short of waiting for people to send me the files. And I know everyone's busy and they've got other things to do in their life. But, short of that, the only thing that really concerns me or even troubles me a little bit in terms of the project is some of the sound design and Foley issues. But I'm also kind of excited about that because that's an opportunity to kind of really come up with some interesting solutions. And so I don't think it'll stop the project, but I do think it'll make the project take quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
For the project to be done within this year is extremely optimistic, and I'd say it'd have to go into next year easily. But once it's finished, and everybody should know this too, if you're not already familiar,
we're going to get Korean animators.
No,
okay.
I've got fairly high standards for quality, so it's not going to be
at his podcast. I mean, really.
No. I mean, it's not going to be one of those deals where it gets slapped together and it doesn't sound very good or whatever. I mean. If you watch the films that we've made, and while the picture, the video quality is subpar because we're using, Best Buy cameras and whatever to shoot it, and sometimes the sound isn't very good because we didn't have the right sound equipment, I think you'll find that a lot of the editing and a lot of the other things that we do, and of course the
special effects on Junior Park Patrol.
Well, and the sound in Will versus Chocolate Junior Park Patrol was much improved too. So I think if you watch those...
Interesting.
Well, yeah, they were.
You listed two of your three films.
No, because look, the sound...
Flying.
No, the sound in Inquire Within was atrocious. You know that. Because we didn't have a boom mic like I had on the other two films.
Yeah, we didn't. We used the mic on the camera.
But even so, I think you'll see that for what our limitations were, we did... we hit a pretty high... standard for, I'm comparing us to things I've seen from people who are actually in California getting their some of their famous friends together to make films, and they look and sound worse than anything we ever made. So
you can tell Will's pretty full of himself.
No, it's not that. It's I. What I'm saying is that if you're wondering, well, what kind of quality can I expect from this? I do have fairly high standards for quality, and I will work very hard to make it very good sounding. I won't just throw something out there that's not very good.
Does this mean you're going to pump me full of Percocet and Diet Coke to do my performance?
No.
Because that's clearly the only way I can work?
No.
Damn.
I'll figure out anything to make it sound like, you know, it wasn't made by people in their spare time in the only equipment they could find. I don't want it to sound like that, and I'll do everything I can to make sure it doesn't. And I won't put it out there for other people to hear until it is that quality. So, just in case you were wondering.
I wasn't.
This is a fly-by-night operation, but I don't want it to sound like one, and I'll do everything I can to make sure it doesn't.
That's his campaign promise to you.
But, so, you're 3 weeks. I'm sure you have a lot to talk about.
I do. But we already eaten up 20 minutes. I don't know. I had a very weird 3 weeks. Lots of interesting things have happened. Went back to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
Decent. As usual, good, not great. I appear to have diabetes sufficiently under my thumb. My A1C was a 6.0. And he's not even, like, he says we're going to go 4 months this time before he sees me again.
Mm.
As far as the imminent demise bit, like, I've got that under control.
Okay, good.
My weight, well, as you may recall, back in November, their scale said I gained 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we never were entirely sure if that was accurate or not. Their scales now say I have lost those 5 pounds.
Oh.
So I don't really know what that means. As I think I've said before, I know I've lost size because I'm buying smaller clothes.
But you don't know what your total loss is so far since you started?
It's hard. Arguably, it's 20 pounds.
Okay.
But it's hard to tell. And almost all of that was right at the beginning. And I do feel like I'm putting on muscle now, so that's going to screw things up.
Yes, right.
I'm still keeping up at the gym. My weightlifting is going pretty well. I'm getting better at it. My form on machines, getting into which machines. I'm at the point now where each machine has a different weight routine. For a while I was just setting a single weight set, and I would try that on all the machines. Now I'm getting to the point where, like, this one, I do pretty well. I can up the weight on this. This one's harder workout.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing.
Right.
So, that's getting pretty good. Saw a movie.
Oh, what'd you see?
The Loneliest Planet.
Never heard of it.
It was an indie film. Didn't really hit theaters much or anything. It's on Netflix now. It is very interesting. people say this sort of kind of, it is absolutely an art film. It is 2 hours long. One thing happens in it. The plot consists of one event, basically, that happens in the middle.
It happens in the middle.
Yes. The rest of the film.
So you're ramping up to it for half the film and you're responding or aftermath after it?
Sort of. The first half of the film goes a certain way, then something happens and the second half goes differently because of that.
Oh.
The film is, the best way to put this, the film is a young man, young woman engaged on vacation in the Republic of Georgia. And the vast majority of the film takes place. They have hired a guide who is taking them on a hike through the Caucasus Mountains for, like, several days.
Okay.
And the film is largely, like, the beginning, we have some establishing stuff for maybe 20 minutes.
Okay.
The rest of the film is the hike.
Okay.
and it's a gorgeous film because it's filmed on location.
Mm-hmm.
There's some amazing shots. It's really well shot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting look at. There's issues with relationships. There's issues with concepts of masculinity. I found it very interesting. I think that it would be unfair to say I liked it. It has stuck with me, and I have thought about it a lot since.
Well,
That's
saying something.
I think it might be worth you watching. I think you might find it interesting. But the vast majority of people would find it absolutely boring. I did not, but most people would. Because, like I said, very little happens in terms of a plot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I found it very interesting. And then the big thing that happened is we had a little bit of a shakeup at work. I would rather not go into all the details, but in my department, we now have lost 4 employees that we had, including my boss. They weren't fired. They left for different positions in a different company.
Did they kind of leave together? Sort of? No?
Not exactly.
Did they go to the same company?
They did, in fact.
Okay.
But it gets weird at that point. But, so that's made things a little weird. And mostly, as most of you know, I adored my boss. Favorite boss ever.
Yeah.
The rest of you may not know why that's funny, but it is. But it's true also. I just wanna, and so that's been a little bit weird. And I was already in a place, you know, I got promoted. And we eventually hired somebody that was basically my replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But I, in being promoted, wasn't really replacing anyone. And so I didn't really have... I've been working sort of project to project. I didn't really have set duties. And now my boss has left. And not like my boss left and they brought in somebody new for that position. Like, there's a hole there right now. And we've ostensibly given me somebody to report to for now. But it's just all weird. It could end up good for me in the long run. They're giving me a lot of things to work on. I'm sort of a floater at the moment. But there's a lot of stuff happening that I'm sort of... As the producer said to me over dinner shortly after this happened... This potentially gives me a chance to sort of define my job myself.
Sure.
And that's kind of nice, but it's all just weird. I feel odd about it. Still seeing my boss some, because I talked her into joining the same gym as me, so...
Oh, good.
She's there sometimes, and I think actually... Some coworkers... We got some coworkers from out of town that telecommute... And they're here, and they were friends with my old boss, and so I think they and some other coworkers and my old boss and all our spouses are going to get together for dinner tomorrow night. So that should be nice.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's weird. That's pretty much it. So, hat?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okie dokie. Mix them up good. I don't know how mixed up they are.
How mixed up they are.
I never know how much the hat mixes up the cards inside of it. What do you got?
Dear the Magical Talking Hat and its listeners.
Ooh.
How nice.
So you guys got an answer too. We'll wait.
What do you remember most about weddings you have attended and why? From Beth.
All right, from Beth. Interesting question from Beth.
Planning a wedding herself, I imagine.
I believe so, yes. I don't know this. Here's what I know. Spontaneously, Ms. Beth puts a picture up, changes her profile picture to a close-up of a woman's hand with a diamond ring on it.
Mm.
That's all I know for sure. congratulations, Beth. I've never met the guy, so I'm a little hurt and a little concerned that you got engaged without me getting to approve the man first. But from what you have told me about him over the years, he seems pretty okay, so I'll let it slide this time.
This time.
But I want to meet your second husband.
But not next time, yeah.
Okay, this is also to the listeners. So I say we start with them. Go ahead, everybody. Out loud, please. I don't care if your coworkers look at you funny. Just say it. Wow. A lot of our listeners like to steal centerpieces. I did not expect that.
Yeah. Some of these things they're saying are probably not good suggestions for someone planning a wedding.
No. Attending. But not, no.
Yeah, we'll skip over those.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Are you getting the impression that she is looking for things, you know, positive thing, not like someone fell down or passed out?
I don't
or
know. I'm not, stories I like mean, that. We may be assuming too much. And heck, for all we know, she sent this in before the engagement.
Well, okay, let me just say this up front. I don't think I've ever been to a wedding where anything dramatic happened, you know, like viral video on YouTube worthy or anything like that.
Yeah. In general, I don't like weddings.
Wow.
It's true.
Yeah.
I maintain to this day, my wedding was the best wedding ever. And I don't think that's because it was my wedding that I feel that way. I mean, I'm sure I am biased. But just, I felt like my wedding was one of the least tense weddings ever. And I think that's the big thing. People are uncomfortable. People, the couple have been running around and they're unhappy almost always. Like, because my wedding, mm-hmm. if you recall, on my side of the wedding party, there were four gentlemen.
Yes.
Two ushers, two best men. Mm-hmm. Of these four, one of each was already married. Mm-hmm. And to this day is still married to the people they are married to. Mm-hmm. At least as far as I know. I've kind of lost touch with one, but I cannot imagine that he's not. Anyway, that left two single ones. One best man, one usher. Since then, they have each gotten married. And I was a best man and an usher, respectively, at their weddings. Mm. Really annoying. They were lovely weddings. They were both perfectly fine. It's so much work being in a wedding. And
well,
and I'm so glad it's done. I have paid back my debt. And no longer do I have to be in anybody else's wedding because nobody's going to be in mine. It's all good.
Well, as far as that goes, you're talking about being in weddings. I've been part of, I don't even know how many weddings.
34.
And it's not because I have three brothers, you know.
It's because you fit the suit.
And they're all married or have been married. Because I was in those weddings, I guess, except not the last brother to get married, who was the oldest brother. I wasn't in his wedding. To be honest, I'm not a huge fan of weddings either. Most of the time I've been involved with weddings, I've been a vocalist, like sang a song or something. Probably the wedding I was in that I actually had fun doing. I don't want to say that I haven't had fun participating in these weddings, especially, you know, my brother's weddings that I had participated in. Those were great. But this wedding, especially because, I was, what are you if you're not the best man? You're like,
or an usher, usually.
Okay, whatever. Well, I mean, I'm standing up at the front, though, with okay. Anyhow.
A groomsman.
Groomsman, yeah. That's what I was. I was a groomsman at this wedding. But I also did sing, and I sang a duet with one of the bridesmaids. And something was really fun about that. I don't know why, because I performed at a lot of weddings. I think this is the first one where I was in the wedding party and performed both at the same time, which, beforehand, I think if you'd asked me, I'd have told you that, boy, that's a lot to do, and yeah, it's going to be. Yeah. But it was actually kind of enjoyable, I think mostly because the woman I performed with was a fun person to work with, and she was really nice, and I think that's why I had such a good time at that wedding, because she was fun and funny and really cool.
And she grew up to be Kelly Clarkson, everyone! No. Can you believe it? No. Oh, my God!
But in most of the weddings I've been a groomsman, I did not perform, and that was fine. And in the other ones I performed in, I wasn't a groomsman, and that was fine. But that wedding where I did both seemed really fun. I think it was mostly because she was so cool. But as far as things to remember in weddings, like I said, or, you know, I agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of weddings, and I don't bring with me a lot of memories, except I really liked yours.
Because mine was awesome.
It was awesome. And I do remember quite a bit about that. It was outdoors. It was on May 1st, and there was a maypole and everything, and there was food. Maypole.
The food was late. That was the thing that went wrong. Every wedding has some big thing that went wrong, and the one that went wrong for us was the food was quite late.
And the person who officiated was...
It moved in next door later.
And she's an amazing person. I mean,
she still does a lot of weddings.
She did a great job with the wedding, but it's just in general, she's a really cool person. I love talking to her, and it was just that's the first time I'd ever met her when she did your wedding.
Oh,
and
really?
She did such a great job, and of course, you know, I got to know her a little bit better.
It was a little bit chilly for May 1st. The old people claimed they were cold. Oh. I thought it was fine. Oh.
To be fair, I was
in a wool tuxedo.
So. And did you go to Mark's wedding?
No.
It was great.
I don't think I did.
His wedding was great, too.
I was at his bachelor party. At least part of it.
That's right, you were, because we both were.
Not the paintball part, but I was at the rest, yeah. But not the wedding.
Are you sure you didn't go? Because you're right, we did go. We went to...
maybe I went.
We went to the House of Lords the night before or something,
Talk to me about this wedding. Maybe I went.
Well, he was wearing a kilt and everything in the ceremony.
Yeah. You gotta give me more than that. I would have assumed that. Mark was at your wedding.
There was a fairly big and a very, very nice reception afterwards.
Was there booze? That would explain why I wouldn't remember.
Well, now see, I don't remember that because I wouldn't have
weddings pretty hardcore.
I wouldn't have had any of that, so I wouldn't know.
Where was it?
It's that church over on Melrose. Not Melrose. Mormon. No. Which one's Melrose and which one's Mormon Trek? I don't remember. You know the church, though. It's over. It's like, you know where Kinnick Stadium is, and it's down.
The Presbyterian church.
Yeah, is it a Presbyterian church?
I think so. Because I think that's where Trish's ex-fiancé, we saw him get ordained there.
I mean, it makes sense that Mark might be Presbyterian.
Mark will tell us.
But
yeah,
anyway.
And there was an actual bagpiper there. I think I do remember this.
It was a good ceremony.
That was good. It wasn't as good as mine.
The thing is, you know, as far as what do you remember most about weddings you attend, you know, again, not being that thrilled about weddings in general, if I ever left a wedding thinking, oh, that was pretty good, usually it's because it was short.
Yes. No, but that is a huge... That is a
Not
huge
long.
Thing. Beth, this is important. The ceremony needs to be short. Like, the ceremony... I'm going to say 20 minutes is the absolute cutoff.
And,
I think 20 minutes is an absolute cutoff from people start walking down the aisle to you may kiss the bride. 20 minutes tops. Because people get sick of that shit.
Now, the wedding I was in that I say I enjoyed was actually a really big wedding, and I think the ceremony lasted a little while, and there was a huge reception, so that kind of violates the rule I just made.
Yeah, stop talking about
but,
that.
Also, if I leave a wedding and I think it was a nice ceremony, sometimes it's because there was something about the ritual of it that was unique.
Yeah. Like how ours was all super pagan, but in such a way that all the old people who were really hardcore Christian couldn't tell.
Right, or if there's...
Ours is pretty openly pagan.
If there's something in the ritual that is different, like they light a candle, or their parents participate in a special way that you don't see often in other weddings.
Yeah.
If the people had their own vows, and the vows were really cool somehow, you know, like they were neat... Or how they were performed were really neat. You know, I see these things on YouTube with people doing fancy things as in a procession and whatever. And while that's cool to watch on a YouTube video, I'm not sure if I was there, I'd think that was all that cool.
Yeah.
I'd probably think, okay.
Our wedding would have made a really boring YouTube video. Absolutely. And that's the point, though. But it was awesome for that.
Well, and I guess that's what I'm getting at is that... whatever makes a good wedding is not necessarily what makes a good YouTube video.
No.
To me, it's I here. Here's what it probably
no prime example. guys getting hit with things in the balls makes a really good YouTube video. Pretty crappy wedding.
Yeah. If I could boil it all down, I would say that the weddings that I leave thinking are the best are the ones that seem to really capture what a wedding is kind of supposed to be. See, the problem with weddings, and maybe the reason we both don't like them very much, is just like you said, the couple seems to be stressed out. It seems like so much is going on that doesn't really lend itself.
Matter.
Well, it doesn't matter, but also kind of distracts from whatever it is this is supposed to be.
Yep.
And this is the wedding I was involved in, I did a good job of this actually, because they did have their own vows, and it seemed like even though the ceremony was kind of long and the reception was pretty involved, everything they did seemed to go back and remind you of the whole purpose of what they were doing. And it made anything that went wrong just seem like it was fun and funny, and it just laughed it off. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They seemed to keep the focus on what it was about, which is, I'm not sure for every wedding if it's the same thing, but for this particular wedding, and maybe weddings are supposed to have this in common, it's about, okay, I'm making a commitment to this person for life, and I'm doing it in front of the people I know so that, because I want them to be a part of this and for them to understand that this is a big deal to me. And of course, you know, for a lot of people, there's the religious element of it because it's a vow before God or their deity or whatever.
Yep.
And that's something I thought you guys did really well, was that especially the person who officiated over yours really kept the focus of, you know, why are we even doing this? Why were you standing there in a tuxedo? Why were we all out here waiting for something to happen?
And they built that shit. I mean, the power of the internet, we built that ceremony piece by piece, stealing from everywhere.
Yeah.
But the officiant was largely involved, and like it was a big thing.
Right. So, but the point is, and again, talking about it, I think this is why the one ceremony I was involved with was so great. Nothing that happened was just like some empty tradition or happenstance. Everything was, like you just said, built. Everything was put together deliberately for a specific purpose, and it never lost sight of the whole reason it was being done, which meant that nothing distracted from it. Like there wasn't a, you know, if anything, like you said, the food was delivered late. That didn't matter. You know, everybody was so focused on why we were there, and you guys and the officiant.
At the time, it kind of mattered. Well, but in retrospect, that's not the part anybody remembers.
Right, because you guys did a great job of keeping everyone focused on what did matter. And so, I mean, to you guys, it mattered because you thought it might not show up and you were worried about it and it was messing things up. But no, everything went really well, and, you know, from the perspective of someone who attended.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I think if I look back and I say, yeah, that was a good ceremony, it comes down to that. People never losing track of what they're really there for. And when they do that, not only does it keep everyone focused on the true meaning of what's going on, but it makes anything that goes a little wrong not matter so much.
Yeah.
And people don't even remember it.
I think that's right. Okay, now shut up. I have important practical advice for Ms. Beth.
Oh, okay.
On this. There's a lot of things learned from my wedding. Very good. One I told you already, short ceremony. Seriously. Like, I think 20 minutes max. It's a good plan. Second, the photos. This is very important. This is very important. Because the photos are one of the shittiest parts of the wedding experience.
Yeah.
But they are very important.
Yeah, I have to agree.
So here's the deal.
It can be kind of a pain.
You create, long before you're married, a list of the shots you want. We want a shot of, you know, the groom's family with the couple. We want a shot of just the couple. We want a shot of all the siblings, or, you know, all of these things. And then you organize them in such a way that starts with the most people and then goes down so that you can get rid of people.
Yeah.
So right. You start with a shot of everybody at the wedding, and then you say, okay, if you are not a blood relative in the wedding party, something, something, then you can go and you're done with pictures.
Right.
And then you do the next set and say, okay, now, if you're not in the wedding party, you can go, you know, that kind of thing. much better. The photographer should have an assistant. If they bring one, great. If not, find somebody in the wedding party to do it who will be in charge of that list. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Mm-hmm. The photographer should take some shots during. That would be nice. You can also get other people. Encourage friends and family to do it. The old-fashioned disposable cameras on the tables during the wedding reception is really nice. Mm-hmm. You can get some great pictures out of that. I highly recommend that. We didn't do that, but I know from other weddings that's a good thing. The receiving line also kind of sucks. but it's absolutely necessary in some form or another. Here's what Trish and I did. We did not have a receiving line. We, during the reception, we walked around. Everybody else sat. We walked around, and we went and talked to everybody. Hmm. And then our real receiving line was when we cut the cake, we served it. Mm-hmm. And so everybody came up for cake, and we talked to everybody. It was very nice. And because there was cake involved and stuff, people didn't hang around too long. Like, we got to see everybody and say some stuff, and then they moved on. It's very nice. Have some shit for people to do while they are waiting to see you or to eat or whatever. We literally brought toys.
Yeah.
And games and stuff. But they need stuff to do to keep them entertained. We also had a bunch of weird little fortune cookie things on the tables and stuff like that. But you need to find stuff to keep them so they don't get bored when they're waiting for the food. Food is the easiest way. But our food was late. And this one, and your mileage may vary on this one, and this was one of the few things. I wanted to have alcohol because I like alcohol. And because, you know, we wanted to do toasts with champagne and stuff like that. Trish was concerned it would make her mother unhappy. I thought, screw that, it's our wedding. And so we thought we might compromise and just do, like, champagne for a toast or whatever. I don't even remember how it came around. I think at a certain point I stopped caring. I don't know. At a certain point we just decided we're not doing any alcohol. And having worked a lot of weddings, I used to work at a place that did weddings. I was a busser and did banquet services. Not having any alcohol at a wedding, really good idea.
Although it's not an option for some people, or they don't think it is.
No. Because that's why, for some people, that's like a thing.
Yeah.
If you can find a way to do limited alcohol, that's also a good idea. That,
well, of course,
also can be better.
Most of the wedding, the one I was telling you about that I enjoy, Seventh-day Adventist wedding, no alcohol there. And my brothers, no alcohol at their wedding. So
I knew a guy who was recovering alcoholic, so he had no.
Yeah, in fact, now that I think about it, hardly any of the weddings I've been to had alcohol.
Graham,
I don't remember Mark's having alcohol.
Graham's wedding had alcohol. That was the one I was the best man. And that one is hilarious because I got super drunk and then had not been told beforehand, but was told after it was too late. I had to go up and give a speech.
Yeah.
And I gave an amazing speech
that
literally strangers came up to me later and thanked me for it. And I'm still not entirely sure how that worked. I do remember my opening bit was I introduced myself as Graham's first wife. And that got a laugh. But I mean, I was up there with the wine glass. It was hilarious. I was just kind of like swigging it around. But no, people really liked it. In general, though, yeah, if you can avoid it, do it, because somebody is going to take the chance to drink too much. If you're lucky, it's just going to be one guy, and that creepy uncle will make a fool of himself, and that'll be the thing most people remember.
You know,
if you're unlucky, it will be half the group, including sometimes the bride and or the groom.
As you've been talking, I'm suddenly remembering all these weddings I've been to that I forgot, that I actually liked. But I totally forgot about them. But at each one I'm remembering, it's basically the same thing I was saying before. It was very simple and very thoughtful, and you know, nobody seemed to be getting hung up on the trivial things that people, you know,
yeah.
It's a stereotype classic people get hung up on during weddings. It was just nice and relaxed. It doesn't, and even if there were a lot of people, even if, you know, she was wearing a really expensive dress, doesn't matter. You got the sense that it was very basic and simple, and I don't know, everybody was at ease.
And I feel like simple's the bigger, because people talk about, there's people who are like, you know, it's your day, or specifically it's the bride's day.
Yeah.
And then there's people who are like, a wedding is not for you, wedding is for them, the honeymoon is for you. And I feel like neither of these is really accurate.
I would have to agree with that.
It is for you, but here's the thing. Don't get caught up in the queen for a day vibe. Do the whole, does this sound fun? Does this sound like, and it helps to say, if I was going to a wedding, would I enjoy
it? Well, that? Right. I think another question, like I said, it seemed like in all the weddings that I went to that I really enjoyed, as much as I could enjoy a wedding, it seemed like they sat down and asked the question, why are we even doing this? Not getting married, but having a ceremony.
Having the wedding, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, why are we having a ceremony? Why are we even doing it like this? And when they could figure out why they were doing it like that, then it made it easier for them to figure out what to do. Because as you just pointed out, obviously it's not just for you, or you wouldn't be doing it up in front of a whole bunch of people and inviting them.
Yes.
You know, there's got to be a reason that you're doing it, where you're doing it, with the people that you're doing it. And if there isn't, then consider eloping or you know, going to the Justice of the Peace or something like that, because unless you have some reason for making it an occasion of any size, big, small, whatever, it might just be something that you do, and then afterwards you kind of ask yourself, gosh, why did we spend all that money and time and aggravation to do that?
Yeah. Also, it's possible, if you are, we'll say anybody, but typically a woman getting married to a man, it's possible they may seem not nearly as interested in the plans as you are. And that can be okay. I felt this was a terrible thing. And everybody was always like, you know, oh, the girl dreams about it her whole life. And I'm like, no, dude, I'm getting married. I'm really excited, too. I'm involved in that sexist bullshit. I am going to be involved every step of the way. I was not aware of how many steps there were and how tiny some of the steps were involved. And I'm not going to comment on why. Okay, he said, with a comma, about to comment on why. It quite possibly has to do with socialization that we all suffer through, and that I have known women who, despite themselves, and despite their attempts to avoid this, and despite all other signs to the contrary, have, sometimes semi-consciously or unconsciously, all this emotional baggage tied to their wedding day. Or maybe they're just detail-oriented like that. Maybe it's just coincidence. But the point is, the producer had a lot of shit she wanted very specific. And things that she wanted to happen to her. And she wanted my input, and she wanted me involved. And for a while I was involved. And at a certain point I was like, all the options you have listed to me sound identical. I do not care. And I kind of pulled back from it. I still, you know, if she wanted my advice or my opinion, she'd come to me and stuff. But I pulled back. And it's okay for that to happen. And it can happen for you, too, if you're the bride. You certainly aren't under any obligation. But
although certainly the groom might have strong opinions about it, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely could happen.
But you're right. It doesn't usually work out that
and
way.
And it doesn't mean the person involved isn't, it wasn't that I wasn't excited about the wedding or committed to the wedding. I loved the wedding.
You just didn't have, on certain issues, you didn't have a particular opinion.
I didn't, you know,
Mm-hmm.
The big stuff, the kind of cake involved, the wording of the ceremony, the color scheme for the overall wedding, the members of the wedding party. These are things I cared about. The catering, you know, things like this. The specific placement of the decorations, the font on the invites, things like this, I was less concerned. Whatever the hell the mothers were going to wear. Because that's a big thing about which I could not care less.
Yeah.
Stuff like this. So, I mean...
Well,
I was totally into my wedding. My wedding was awesome.
My own wedding was nothing much. I mean, there was a retired minister in our church, and we went to said church and met him and his elderly wife there, drug a couple people we knew are along with us, and just so we could have two witnesses, got married, and then went to work.
So you eloped?
Well, if you can call it that.
Well, did your family know you were getting married?
Yes.
They just didn't care?
No. We let them know. I mean, we just worked it out where... I don't remember when we let them know. It seemed like they knew long enough beforehand that they maybe could have come or something if they wanted to, but we pretty much told them, look, we're just getting together, we're going to get it done, and we're going to be done with it.
Wow.
And then we literally went to work right after that. We worked at the same place.
Meanwhile... My brother got married with a relatively small group. It was mostly the wedding party and then maybe 10 other people. But it was a big deal. It took many hours. It was on like a Saturday. We all went to dinner afterward. The next day, they had rented a place where they had a reception of 250 people. She got back into the dress, which was no mean feat, let me tell you, because it was an impressive dress. They later had two more receptions in different states. And supposedly, she got back into the dress for each one of those, too.
Well,
it was ridiculous. That was the same one where I step outside during the reception for a breath of air, and I was grabbed and pulled behind the door, and there's the bride and groom saying, you have to go get us some food. And the buffet was 15 feet away. And I said, why can't you do this? If we get out there, we're going to get mobbed. Mm. So I had to sneak them food where they were hiding behind the door.
I should point out that even though I'm divorced now, we were married for 10 years, she never once complained about how we got married or the fact that we didn't really have any kind of honeymoon or anything. That was never an issue. We both agreed this is how we wanted to get married. And
that was not the reason they got divorced.
She never
different things.
Never once complained about that because she didn't care. I didn't care. We were both fine with it. Now, I can tell you this. A lot of people were upset about it.
Yeah.
Not our respective parents. I don't recall them being upset about it. In fact, they were probably kind of grateful because, you know, weddings can be expensive.
Yeah.
But
that was the other thing about our wedding was way cheaper than most.
But we had a lot of friends who were upset about it.
I can understand
that. And I was married on my 20th birthday, so there were a lot of people that thought that was too young to get married and all kinds of other stuff. Which...
They may not have been wrong about in retrospect.
Well, I don't think that was... I mean, that's not the reason either that we eventually divorced. However, there are some things that I was probably not fully aware of at the time that maybe if I had been an older person, but I don't think, you know, I don't think 5 or even 10 years later I was any smarter when it came to that kind of thing, so I don't think it had anything to do with it.
All right, I have one other bit of advice here. William might want to plug his ears for this. Your wedding day, good or bad, is going to wear you out. It's going to be tiring. Loved my wedding day. Still exhausted at the end. Do not feel you are under any obligation to have sex on your wedding night.
Okay, now wait a minute. Don't you think that that's something that the two people need to discuss amongst themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you're saying that, but you're not the one getting married.
No.
Certainly there are some people out there that no matter how exhausted they are, they're going to be interested in that on their wedding night.
Yeah. Will you let me finish?
Well, how can you say don't feel obligated? I mean, you don't know how obligated
let
the person...
Let me finish. There is a lot of weird stigma attached to it. I have known people who have felt very weird, like they had to, and if they didn't, it meant something was wrong, or that they had messed it up or something. it's entirely understandable if you don't have sex on your wedding night, because odds are you had a very busy and very tiring day. If you want to have sex, feel free. You certainly should not avoid it. This necessarily. Is
serious. Are you serious? There's actually...
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Many people feel an obligation, essentially a social obligation.
Really?
Absolutely.
How is anyone absolutely. Even going to know if that happens?
They aren't, but it's not that people will know. It's that that's what I'm supposed to do. And nobody ever has to find out, but I feel like I'm less of a person. I didn't start the marriage off right. That was when later, when we're getting a divorce, that was the first sign why right there is that we didn't have sex.
Now, you know what? I think you're kind of making some of this up.
I don't think so.
What? Seriously, this is how people think about this.
Yes.
Even though for most
I'm
people...
I'm not saying everybody. Even though, there's lots of people who are smarter
even
than that.
Though for most people who get married today, it's not like... They've never had sex with this person before, so what difference does it make?
It's the same as all the other wedding shit. There is so much stuff that people freak out about with weddings,
It
has to be just perfect or
yes,
whatever.
I know,
this is the same thing. The perfect form is you're celebrating your love privately now, and you're having sex together for the first time as man and wife, and it's a big deal. And yes, it's a thing. I'm not saying I subscribe to it. In fact, that's the whole point here. I'm trying to say...
I had no idea.
Don't even worry about that.
I had no idea that that was a thing.
Yes.
Are you sure? Come on, now. If you're just messing with me...
write the blog. Explain to William. Now, again...
How do these things even develop?
Again.
Do people get together and talk about it or something and say, hey, you're supposed to...
I think this one grew out of the tradition for marriage. Because... historically, it was assumed that you didn't do it until then, and that was a different kind of wedding.
And in some places, and in some cultures,
and in some situations,
during the reception, that they're supposed to go off and do that, and then there's evidence that this happened,
and
whatever.
In some situations, people still save themselves for marriage, and so then that's the night,
it's
a different kind of wedding. And I think it came of ritual became an obligation.
Have people come to you and told you, gosh, you know, we didn't have sex on our wedding night, and I felt a lot of pressure, and I don't know if, I mean, has someone talked to you about
this?
Nobody's
come to me specifically. Other people I have talked about the fact that this was a thing. Trish and I had to talk about it before we got married.
Well, okay, I mean, that's fine, but as a general cultural phenomenon, enough for you to make mention of it?
Yes. I'm not saying that most people necessarily do this. I mean, I don't honestly know. I do know it's a thing with some serious history and cultural penetration to it. And so I want to assure any listeners who might be getting married soon, Beth, that it shouldn't be a thing. And if you want, talk about it with your spouse beforehand. You're not spouse at that point. Or just agree to let it go. And don't feel that, how do I put this? You haven't completed the ritual because you didn't do that. But then again, if you want to, I mean, go nuts. Because usually you rent a really nice room at a motel or a hotel. And we had the bridal suite in the Canterbury Inn. It was cool. It had a heart-shaped bathtub, which... is really not as fun as it sounds because it's a really awkward position to
see. And it doesn't sound fun.
No. Yeah, but you hate water, especially with other people.
Okay.
All right. So on that note, we're over time anyway. Aren't you going to thank Beth?
Yes, thank you, Beth, for your question. That
thank you, Beth.
A good one, because obviously we talked about that for a long time.
Yes, I like
not to say the quality of the question depends on how long we talk about it, because that's not exactly true.
What we're saying is most of you have horrible questions.
No.
And you should feel bad.
But yes, thank you, Beth.
We love you all. And you should keep listening. And again, pledge. Your contributions could net you an Ezzy or William or both. Got Ezzy right here, and she's being really good.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
All right, so that's it for now, and we will talk to you next week.
Yep.
Stay cool, everybody. I never know how to end this thing.
yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.